This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana, originating from the Investar Bank Tower in Baton Rouge. And our number is 877-217-5757. We start with Brandon Landry, the founder of Walk-Ons. And the name is related to the fact that he and his original business partner, Jack Warner, were walk-ons on the LSU basketball team, and now we know this is one of the most successful franchises in the United States that started right here in Baton Rouge. And good morning to you, Brandon.
Jim, how are you, man? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to talk with you, and we're going to talk about walk-ons because I know it's near and dear to you. It's more than just a name. It's a way of life and a theme that you have embraced, and something I think that anybody who wants to be in the midst of major college athletics, as you and Jack were, you can do it. But now, of course, it's a new world with collegiate athletics. But you started, 21 years ago now, didn't you?
Yeah, the restaurant opened in September of 2003. It's pretty crazy to think about that now. You know, it's supposed to be one restaurant right there on the gates of LSU. We were just trying to make a living. I was 23 years old at the time and just trying to figure out how to get food out of the kitchen. And it's pretty crazy though. We pinch ourselves all the time, you know, looking now, you know, almost 100 locations throughout 15 states. We're pretty fortunate, and we got a great team and some great partners as well.
Well, as you know, perhaps better than anybody, that's a tough business. And I'm sure there were people who were saying you can't do it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, most of the people were. we had that chip on our shoulder from having that walk-on mentality, right? I mean, I got cut from the team at first and came back and tried out. And they needed practice players, and I ended up playing 4 years at LSU. I was on the team for 4 years. Played is a strong word. Same thing with the restaurant. You know, I mean, look, we had little to no experience, but all we knew was how to work hard, how to be a great teammate, and lots of doubters out there, and which, understandably so, I understand. We didn't, like I said, have a lot of experience, but it all worked out.
We're visiting with Brandon Landry in our first segment, founder of Walk-Ons, and Brandon, you told a story at the Baton Rouge Rotary Club a few years ago about how you, out of the blue, ended up getting a fellow named Drew Brees involved. How did that happen?
Yeah, this was actually, Drew and I have been partners for 10 years now. That's hard to believe. Around 2013, after Jack and I had split, I got a call out of the blue one day from a guy by the name of Chris Stewart, who's Drew Brees' marketing agent. And they just wanted to sit and chat. I had no idea what it was about. He said, I'm actually going to pick up Drew from practice here in a little bit. Do you mind if we call you back? I said, sure. You know, look, I'm a South Louisiana guy, always a Saints fan and definitely a Drew Brees fan. And so I was pretty excited by that. Well, they called back a little later. He said, Brandon, it's Chris again. And I got Drew in the car. And Drew said, what's up, Brandon? I said, hey, Drew Brees. How were you? And, you know, we ended up sitting and talking a few weeks later and taking the stardom out of it, really talking about business. And Drew said, look, I love this concept, what you guys are doing. And he goes, I'd love to be a part of it. So he ended up buying in 2014 into the parent company. And it's been a great 10-year run so far.
Yeah, and he's a guy, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten into politics, and that was at one time thought to be a real possibility, but he is extremely popular, and his name recognition is immense in Louisiana and elsewhere. And I recall Tommy Hodson, one of the great LSU quarterbacks, telling me that the reason he didn't do real well in the NFL was that he said, I wasn't big enough. And I said, well, you're 6'3", 200 pounds, you're big enough. I said, look at Drew Brees. And Brees, if he's 6 feet, he's exactly 6 feet because he's not a big man. But as we know, he probably got more out of that body pound for pound and inch for inch than anybody in the history of the game.
And Drew will tell you it's the 6 inches in between his ears. I mean, he did for preparation. And just, I mean, he was, you talk to former teammates of his, he was the first guy there, even as an all-pro quarterback, he was the first guy there. Just, I mean, relentless effort into studying and making sure that he was prepared. And then being a great leader, right? There's one thing that I've learned spending time with him over the past decade is just how great of a, first of all, human being he is, but also just a leader. And it's impressive. I've learned a lot from him, just leadership skills. So it's been a cool partnership. I'm happy to have him and blessed to have him with me.
How transferable are those skills as an athlete to a business person?
Very. I think you see often typically why great leaders on and off the field end up being great leaders in business. And I think it's very transferable. I mean, look, our core values, our guiding principles are, I mean, if you read them, it could be plastered on a locker room wall as well. I mean, build relationships, play for the team, be encouraging, own your role. Aim for progress, not perfection. I mean, these are all part of our guiding principles inside of our system that we live and die by each day. And honestly, I mean, you could put that on a locker room wall. And if you're doing those things, owning your role, I mean, embodying humility, all these things that we talk about in our business translate straight from the court to the field. And so great leaders out there. I mean, Drew always knew. I mean, he always knew he had talent on his team, but he would tell me before the season, he's like, yeah, I don't know if I feel it in the locker room. And lo and behold, you know, a lot of those teams, man, they underperformed just because of the type of people that they had, not necessarily the talent. So it's very transferable.
Now, what prompted our call to you was Dabo Swinney, who I believe has a walk-ons franchise. He has some thoughts about what's going to happen with walk-ons in the new world of collegiate athletics, particularly college football at the highest levels. Are walk-ons, are they going to be like dinosaurs in a few years?
Man, I hope not. You know, I know Dabo and Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin and all these guys have been very vocal about the importance of walk-ons. And, you know, these people that are proposing these changes probably have never been a part of the team before. And it's a money play, and it's they don't understand the true essence of teams. And Dabo is very vocal. And, yes, Dabo is our partner in the Clemson market. But, I mean, look, it could significantly harm our walk-ons by limiting the opportunities, right? I mean, look, I'm first to say once again, the backbone of our business is that walk-on mentality. You know, I mean, the passion is irreplaceable. What walk-ons bring to the team. Look, we don't typically show up in the box scores, but everything you do, being a part of a team is being a part of something bigger than yourself. And walk-ons running scout teams and, mm-hmm. you know, the legendary Coach Dale Brown and I, we're still friends today. I mean, just talking about the importance of these guys and gals to these teams. So, yeah, it's at jeopardy, and it's a shame that these people would even be considering this because, once again, it all comes down to money.
Well, a listener asked, you mentioned over 100 franchises now in 15 states, and I would imagine that you're planning on going to the next level. You're always seeking new opportunities, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are, in fact, we had a call yesterday, and we have a call this afternoon just about our next phase of growth, planning out 25 and 26. You know, great markets on the horizon. It's not a certain number that we're looking at. It's the right partners. It's the right opportunities for corporate growth. It's the right JV partnerships. You know, I mean, we've kind of become that brand that has attracted athletes. And I mean, what athlete doesn't want to own a sports bar, right? and coaches and things like that. So we're putting different programs together to have JV partnerships and things like that. But, you know, I'll say, being from down here, like our big point of differentiation as we're growing throughout the states is that taste of Louisiana, and not just the food, but the culture as well. We try to make sure that's resembled in each one of our restaurants. And so, you know, it's pretty crazy. You can open up in Wichita, Kansas, and serve gumbo and boudin balls and fresh Gulf seafood. And they don't have that on every corner like we do down here. So it becomes a gem in the community really quick.
Well, congratulations on your success, Brandon. And hats off to all the walk-ons, including Brandon and Jack Warner, who started this company in 2003, and Brandon and Drew Brees have taken it to a different level. We hope we talk again soon. Thank you, sir. And we're back after this with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Last day of July 2024, 97 days from Election Day. And we'll be talking about the elections near and far. And in Baton Rouge, all the council seats are up. And one of those running for re-election is Darrell Hurst, who's in studio. And he has a couple of opponents, and one who I think is running a serious campaign, and Marcus Randall, the former LSU quarterback, the Bluegrass Miracle guy. And I suspect we'll have occasion to talk to Marcus Randall. But Brandon is the incumbent. I know he's generally popular in his district, and it will be a tough job unseating him, but that's what elections are all about. And I encourage anybody who wants to get in the arena, and especially if it's a long shot, because it's a good civic endeavor. I've never had the brass to do it, but you did at one point. And now Darrell, for those unfamiliar, he, like Brandon, was an athlete, and he was a little better athlete. He was a three-year starter for Pete Richardson at Southern University, outside linebacker. 2003, the Jags won the Southwestern Athletic Conference title, and you look like you can still bench press your weight.
I can do a little bit more than bench press my weight, but I don't have any more downs left in me. I'll say that I've shifted all my fight to fight for the people of District 5 and North Baton Rouge.
You segued to that really well.
I did, man. And so, and when we talk about getting in the ring and putting certain strategies in place, I heard you talking to Brandon Landry earlier about how does athletics transfer from the field into the community in terms of business. But I can also tell you how it transfers into politics when you have a combination of athletics, business experience, but more so a heart for the community.
Well, my dear friend, John Ed Bradley, he says all great athletes, and I agree with him, have an edge. And some people view an edge as being arrogant. That's not necessarily so. And I agree with Brandon that there is a component to success about what he called embodying humility. But I don't see many humble politicians.
Well, here's the deal.
That seems to be an anathema.
You can't go into a race saying, I might lose. You can't start a small business saying, I might fail. You have to have people that's around you to hold you accountable to be successful, but also that encourage you, that tell you that you're a winner. I believe in teaching kids affirmations. I tell them, tell me five things that you don't like about yourself, and then write the opposite. And forget those five things you don't like and say the opposite every morning until you start to believe it. And so when you believe it, you surround yourself with people that lift you up, that encourage you, that build you, and they don't tear you down. So while it may seem like arrogance, mm-hmm. it's just you have to have the confidence to go out and fight for people every day. In politics, they literally only build you up to elect you to tell you right back down and tell you what you're not doing. So you have to be able to navigate through those waters to still find a way to bring about success, change, and impact on the people that you were elected to serve.
All right. You got your talking points down, and I'm getting fired up listening to Darrell Hurst. You could have been a coach. 877-217-5757, your number, and talk@talklouisiana.org is our email. Renee Martin and Robin Dow are producing today. Darrell Hurst is a guy in a listener notes. This is Terry in Scotlandville, noting your sister was a pretty good athlete, too.
She was actually the best athlete in Louisiana coming out of senior year.
Yes. I met her, and she says, I'm the greatest athlete to ever come from Tulane University. And I think she may be right when you look at what she accomplished. What did she do there?
She played volleyball, ran track, got a couple, I believe a couple rings in track, not volleyball. But she just was a phenomenal athlete. You gave her a ball. If she didn't know what to do with it, 2 minutes later, she figured it out. She put on the track. She found a stride. She became one of the fastest people in the state of Louisiana. So, and volleyball, I'll tell you this. Everybody thinks she was formally trained. She went to a brick gymnasium to a women's league for like 40 and over, and that's how she learned how to play. Mm-hmm. So she's just a natural athlete.
And married to Collis Temple the third.
She is, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned some stuff in North Baton Rouge, and I'm looking at the headline from the April 18th Advocate. Big changes slated for Memorial Stadium. What's going on with that venerable facility?
You know, that's not in my district, but there's some talk about and some plans to put tons of development, about $1.4 billion there. Right now,
$1.4 billion.
Yeah, $1.4 billion. So it's pro soccer, pro tennis, track and field, another small arena there, tennis. So it'll and then to improve Pete Goldsby as well.
And to improve the surrounding area.
Correct. And that's the part that I don't have as much detail on. I've only seen the at least the one variation of what plans to come to Memorial Stadium. I'm probably about 5 minutes north of that on Plank mm-hmm. Road because I started Evangeline. And so what we want to do to be able to have those types of same developments in our district is I made a commitment when I first got in office. I said it's three parts to make North Baton Rouge better. You have to work on the business corridors. You have to work on the communities that surround those business corridors. You have to work on those people that live in those communities. And so everything that I've committed to in 2022, I have done, which is I have a grocery store coming to Jordan Prescott in 2 years, which is almost unheard of. Closing the gap in the food desert. Just in Glen Oaks community alone, have about $50 million coming in infrastructure mm-hmm. projects. I have crime prevention districts approved by the legislature in almost every corner of District 5 to make sure that we infuse capital back into those neighborhoods. Glen Oaks alone is about $500,000, and right below it, Victoria Farms is about $200,000, for a total of about $1.2 million going into North Baton Rouge neighborhoods annually, as long as they get approved by the voters. Economic development districts being developed on Plank Road and Airline, $2 million there, $800,000 on Airline. And then have a program that takes people from literally welfare to disposable income, working on the individual. So those are the things that I want to do in my district to prepare so that we can have those capitalistic infusions like Memorial Stadium come a little bit further north.
All right. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And I believe it was the last time you were on our show, and a listener notes that you talked about this new arena that's planned for LSU and this is Tom on Bluebonnet. He says, do we know the developers? Do we know where it is? Or is this still cloaked in mystery and secrecy? What's going on?
If you saw me on the development, I mean, I was never against it. I'm always for a new arena. I'm always for Memorial Stadium and the development. I'm always for growing Baton Rouge. I'm just for growing it the right way. At the time, I didn't have enough data to make a vote. That's why I didn't vote for it.
You were in abstention, and there was one no vote, I believe.
I did abstain from it. And at this point, I know some of the plan for the River Center, but don't know all the details for LSU specifically.
Well, how can you vote on something when you don't know the developers and you don't know where it's going to be? There's talk it's going to be at the golf course. What in the world's going on here? Why is it so secretive?
That's why I abstained from it. So I gave an abstention. And if I'm not informed, then I won't make a decision, because the people who elected me to be in office asked me to represent them mm-hmm. in the highest level, and I'm a data-driven guy. I tell people I trust Jesus and I verify everything else.
Well, Charles Landry was on this show, and I'm sure he trusts Jesus too, but he wouldn't tell us any real information about the behind-the-scenes stuff, but he did, I think, make a plausible case for how it would work and how it might benefit the city. But will it be at the expense of the River Center?
Well, I mean, that's the unknown. And so when people ask me why I abstained, that was the reason why. We didn't have a full study back on the River Center. We had a study on the River Center done by ASM and by the River Center Management Group that talked about what would be the best case scenario for them to move forward as is, which was to add a convention hotel, not turn it into a convention center. And so that was always my question of how does one study relate to the other? And then there was another study that was supposed to come to market that we didn't have access or visibility to. So that's why I abstained. And I made it very clear. I mean, you can go back to that meeting. I talked about what I felt was right, what I didn't feel we had enough information on, and I decided to move forward. But all of that talks about the fight and how you talked about two people abstaining, one person voting no, one person abstaining. And that's what I've done for District 5 the entire time, is I didn't mind being like Jesus and standing on an island by myself and doing what was unpopular, because if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. And in North Baton Rouge, we've continued to do the same thing for a long time. We cry about crime. We cry about lack of investment in Baton Rouge, but we don't focus on North Baton Rouge where we have the crime and we need the investment.
877-217-5757. More with Darrell Hirst after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Pleased to have you with us. Another half hour to go, and we're spending some more time with Darrell Hirst, the Metro Council person. What the heck was that? But anyway, Darrell Hirst is a guy who is active in his community, and a listener notes that this is the athletics day. You were quite a high school stud as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I did pretty good. I broke some records my senior year. So Marcus Spears and I played on the same team along with a bunch of other amazing athletes. And from that team, we had 21 seniors, about 14 of them signed college scholarships in one sport or another. So we had a phenomenal program at Southern Lab.
At Southern Lab. So you went to school for much of your career at Southern University?
I did.
How many years?
So I started in eighth grade at Southern Lab. And had other opportunities, but I felt like God led me to stay home. And I crossed the street after my fifth year on the campus from the high school and began to play football for P. Richardson.
Southern Lab, the Kittens, right?
Let me say this correctly. Coach Terrence Graves would have my hide. He always corrects me. Coach Pete Richardson. Let me make sure I put some respect on it.
Yeah. He's still around.
He is. So Coach Pete Richardson was at my community center couple weeks ago. Coach Terrence Graves came 2 weeks ago and read to me. So Coach Graves at the time was my position coach, who's now the head coach at Southern University. So really all of Coach P. Richardson's staff is coming back over there. So full circle moment, I get to spend time with the guys that actually turned me into a man and taught me how to be a competitor in life. So
877-217-5757 for Darrell Hirst, who is an active in many aspects of the community. And this one's a legitimate and a good question from Heather about Lamont Cole becoming superintendent of schools. Your thoughts?
My thought is that he is, bar none, the right guy.
Why?
And I will say he is the right guy because he understands how to be successful in a traditional neighborhood school. And he's also proven that you can be successful in the charter environment as well. And typically, it has been the fight of the people who are pro-neighborhood versus the people who are pro-charter, and he's that perfect hybrid. If you saw at the school board meeting, there was not one person that came out against him. Will he be a perfect superintendent? Again, perfection is unattainable. But he's somebody, and I told him this the other day. And let me tell you how God moves and how words are powerful. And we sat there about 3 weeks ago, and I said, Cole, I said, man, this is – the way that I see you on the council is great, but when you get around these kids in education, man, you light up like a kid yourself. I said, I believe you do a great job as superintendent. This is 3 weeks before he got appointed. He said, Hirst, I'll never get it, man. I'll never get it.
What happened?
God moved. And look, I'm a Kevin George fan. My kids are at U High, so I'm an Adam Smith fan because I've seen what he's done. So I was okay with either one of them getting it, right? But then the Red Sea parted, and Adam Smith, who is a great Lamont Cole fan as well, said, you know what, I'm going to step aside and do what's right for the people, and I applaud Adam Smith for doing that. And I'm going to put up Lamont Cole because he's welcomed by both sides of the aisle, and we saw that by the overwhelming response from the people saying that we're glad that he stepped in and he's the right choice to lead our babies to success. And if you build a great foundation for the youth, you don't have to try to fix an adult, which is a challenge we're dealing with right now.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And I'm getting a lot of emails. If you'd like to call, we'll try to get to you in that realm. But Holly in the Garden District says that the mayor's race will largely be about crime, but in reality, what does a mayor have to do with thwarting crime? How much can a mayor do?
Well, the mayor appoints the chief of police, so the mayor is over BRPD. I believe that there are strategies that we can put in communities. And one of the things that we've been talking about, I will say specifically in District 5, is because I won't tell you what the mayor's plans are, right? That's an open-ended question. I won't speak for anybody else, but I will tell you that one of the conversations that I've had is that people with money don't rob people. If you do, you're just a kleptomaniac, and that's a mental illness, right? But so how do we focus on three things? The three things that are going to change North Baton Rouge. We have to go back to North Baton Rouge because the only time people of South Baton Rouge care about crime is when it bleeds from North Baton Rouge, and we go into an uproar and talk about the mayor and the sheriff and the chief and everybody else. We have to start focusing on North Baton Rouge on three things, which are, I call them the three E's, which are education, employment, and entrepreneurship. When we bring hope back into these communities, when we go knock on doors, when we connect people with the resources, because the resources currently exist, but people don't know that they're there available for them. So we have a workforce development arm called WIOA, Employ BR, that can take people from poverty to disposable income overnight. Everybody mm-hmm. talks about $15 needs to be minimum wage. Well, guess what? They will pay you $15 overnight to go work for somebody. If you have a small business and you want labor, you can go through Employ BR. The city will pay for your workforce for a year if you're willing to take on some of these people to help us change the plight in Baton Rouge and North Baton Rouge. So there are resources, and that needs to be the focus, because when we change education, entrepreneurship, and employment, we give people hope. And with hope, we change the median incomes, we change education levels, and then we start to see Baton Rouge be what it can be.
Here's a question from a listener asking, why has there been a so-called food desert in North Baton Rouge? Why are there so few grocery stores?
I'll tell you, I talked to the Saddlewall family that owns the Shoppers Value brand, and specifically one on Greenwell Springs, and that's actually a higher median income in my district. Just after the flood, they came back too late, and there was a science to grocery stores that once you go to a store seven times, that becomes your go-to neighborhood store, so it changes your mindset. So Oak Point kind of flourished. High Neighbor on Florida flourished. But in terms of food deserts, sometimes people are just scared to invest. If nobody else is investing, then I won't do it. It's follow the leader when it comes to where do I put my business. And so we've done a market study. I have a great partner. Shout out to CST Developers and their principal, Tom Delahay, who stepped in and donated 14 acres on Jewel Road and said, I want to be a part of the change, not a part of the problem. So he became that solution-oriented individual. I took a delegation along with the mayor's office to Houston. We brought down a grocer called Pie Burns. We structured the financial model to make it work, and they loved it. They said, we're looking to come, not just to come for one store, but to come for many stores. And so it just takes a leader who can have that business acumen, that business sense, and go and make that happen. And I was able to do that for my district along with some of my colleagues on the council and the mayor's office.
Joel on North Foster asked if you're supporting a candidate for mayor.
I am not. I tell everybody that I am supporting my race. I don't really put my hand in everybody else's pot.
All right. Gotcha. Patrick in Innisfil State, you're on with Daryl Hurst. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Oh, okay. Hey, I got an unusual question. I don't know if you can answer it, but I'm in this city of St. George, and I heard in December we're supposed to vote on this 2% tax, divert it from East Baton Rouge Parish to city of St. George. I guess a couple questions. How is that going to impact fighting crime in North Baton Rouge? And do you think there'll be an effort by, like, Together Baton Rouge, or maybe even yourself or people in North Baton Rouge, to get people in city of St. George to vote against that tax transfer? I guess I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't foresee the future. But what I will say is that there just have been a bunch of rumblings going around right now from a city of Baton Rouge standpoint. We're still working out the financials to see what impact that would have on us. We have an estimate of about $50 million. But it all depends on what services you guys want to continue to use from the city of Baton Rouge. Every charter is different from Central to Zachary to Baker. So depending on how you engage, what city and parish services you want to use, it'll determine how we invest in the city of St. George from the city of Baton Rouge Department of Public Works standpoint. As it talks about crime, I don't care if we break up city, Baton Rouge, St. George, Central, Baker, Zachary. Crime is crime. We're still all East Baton Rouge Parish. We're still governed under Sheriff Sid Gautreau as the chief jailer and the chief officer for East Baton Rouge Parish. So what happens is when we don't address it, it'll bleed into St. George. Just because the name changed, well, doesn't make a difference.
Is this transition going to be messy?
I don't know. I hope it's smooth.
We hope it's smooth.
And I'll tell you this. I'm not mad at the folks in St. George. I wish that we didn't need a St. George. I wish that we didn't need a Central. I wish that we didn't need a Baker. But I believe with Lamont Cole leading the school system, having homegrown person in the office with sustainable plans for education for East Baton Rouge Parish, hopefully people from those cities will want to move back to Baton Rouge, because now we become the creme de la creme of education.
Kevin in North Baton Rouge. Kevin, you're on with Daryl Hurts.
Yes. Didn't all the businesses that's in the St. George area annex to the Baton Rouge area, so we're going to be getting those taxes? And I'm glad that you have foresight to see how to get stuff done instead of just trying to destroy stuff.
Right. So what I will say is that I have no idea exactly how many. Some of them did annex in. They were allowed to not be a part of the city of St. George. It's been a while since we had those specific discussions, so I can't tell you which ones did and didn't, but there were some that chose to remain as a part of the city of Baton Rouge. Yes, sir.
All right. Christy in Scotlandville. Hi, Chris. Excuse me. I think it's Jesty in Scotlandville. Jesty, you're on Louisiana.
No, it's Kesty, Jim.
Okay, I apologize. Thank you.
You're good. Councilman, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, my name's Kesty Weir, and I work with the Elm Grove Foundation, and we have some acreage on Greenville Springs Road. It's right around the corner from your Jewel Road site, and we're looking to do an elderly housing development, and I just wanted to sit down with you and talk with you about it.
All right.
No problem.
You're open to discussion.
Absolutely. Dial 225-389-4831. That's 225-389-4831. We're open 8:30 to 4:30 daily, and you can get with one of my legislative aides or my legislative director and schedule a time to talk. I'd love to do so. I believe that investment in rooftops provides resources.
Thank you, Daryl Hurst, pride of Southern University. We're back with Deborah Sternberg after this. This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana, and we round the corner and head for home the final quarter hour with Deborah Sternberg from a legendary Baton Rouge family, Hans and Donna, and they've done well, and of course Deborah is doing exceptionally well and making an impact in her community. You have a special affiliation with Baton Rouge, don't you?
I do. I mean, born and raised here, and now being able to give back to the young people of Baton Rouge, it's the most rewarding work I've done, and I've had many careers. So
yeah, and we might even talk a bit about that. But first, the Young Entrepreneurs Academy. You were here 7 years ago when you got it off the ground, and now how many kids have benefited from this?
So we're entering our seventh year, and so far over 120 high school students from the 9 parish greater Baton Rouge area have launched over 100 startups with the state of Louisiana. So actually filed businesses with the Secretary of State's office.
And this doesn't happen overnight. You just don't throw this together on the fly. So there are a lot of steps along the way before you have your final showing with all the young entrepreneurs, and it is an inspiring event. What's happening right now?
So we're in the throes of application season. The application deadline is coming up August 18. Students are going online at yeabr.org and applying for the program. It's a short application, and then classes will begin right after Labor Day. And we meet every Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. at the College of Business at LSU from September until the end of April.
877-217-5757 is your number for Deborah Sternberg, who is the head honcho of the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, transforming high school students into entrepreneurs. It's in partnership with the LSU School of College of Business. And over the academic year, students create business plans and they pitch to an investor panel and seek funding to launch their own companies. And you have had some amazing ideas that have been formulated and evolved through this program.
Yes. And some of the students, it's so fun to watch them come up with an idea. One student came up with an idea where it's like a thermos, but the bottom of the thermos twists off. Yeah. And in the bottom is a foldable fork, spoon, and knife, and straw. And so if you're out camping, you can have your water, but you can mm-hmm. also have a way to eat your food. And he's selling them. And there's so many companies that are up and available because of this program.
It is amazing that sometimes the most obvious things have never been done, never been thought of. I remember once going to a seminar and they said, we put a man on the moon in 1969. What year did we have rollers on luggage in airports? 1990. Think about that. Before then, everybody was carrying their luggage.
That's right.
Think about it. And that's something that seems so simple, but nobody thought of it.
I mean, another one of our students to that point, right? He thought of this idea before COVID to connect tutors in other time zones with students. So say you're in Baton Rouge and it's 2 a.m, you're struggling with math. Well, all your tutors are asleep in Baton Rouge and in Louisiana, but in different time zones, using FaceTime, you can connect them and they make money and you get the help you need. And it's Face Tutor. He's building it out. And it's incredible. I'm like, how did I not think of that? Yeah. But it's a problem that he was having and he's coming up with a solution.
And for those who have doubt about the future of the world, and it is a dangerous world, as we know, this gives us hope.
It does. And it's, since the beginning, since we launched it, every cohort looks like a microcosm of our region, and that has been the goal. So our students come from public, private, charter, homeschool. They don't know each other. Last year's cohort represented 14 different schools from 4 different parishes. They all come together with a interest in launching their own company, and then they get to know each other and really build relationships across the board. It's a diverse group of high school students.
And to participate beyond these ideas, what are some of the ways there is tuition for students? How does this evolve?
So students, there is a tuition, and we have need-based scholarships. So over half of our students qualify for a need-based scholarship. We don't want finances to be a reason that someone doesn't apply. We want the right students in the class always. Mm-hmm. And so companies have stepped up and said, we will sponsor X number of students so that finances are not a part. Every family pays something, but $200 for one family is the same as $700 or whatever for another family. So there's tuition. We interview every student. So last year we received 87 applications for 25 spots. It's a select group of students that are enrolled in this program, and they're all interviewed to make sure that it's their idea and they have enthusiasm for it. And once they're enrolled, they have guest speakers that they are introduced to. One of the goals that I had over 7 years ago was to level the playing field when it comes to network, so that every young mm-hmm. person has a network, has a CPA, has met an attorney. And through this program, they have a roster of business professionals who they can turn to throughout their lives.
It's once a week, isn't it?
It is. Every Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m.
And you have the top flight professors who
are
involved.
We do. We have College of Business professors. We have entrepreneurs. And again, business professionals come in. And every student is paired up with a mm-hmm. professional graphic designer during the program to help them as they flesh out their brand for their business. We also pair every business up with a business mentor and a financial mentor. So if you're a business person listening and you want to pay it forward to a high school student who is launching a company, reach out to us at yeabr.org. If you're interested in becoming a mentor, or if you know or have a high school student, I'd encourage you to let them know about the program before August 18th.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org to get in with Deborah Sternberg. I'm getting some inquiries about the date and the application, August 18th, and how does one apply?
So students can go online at yeabr.org. The application is online. There are a couple of short essays. Then they'll be asked to submit a picture off their phone and a letter of recommendation and a transcript.
And they write their own business plans?
They do. So they write their own business plans with financials with the help of business and financial mentors. And they don't have to have a business idea when they apply. By the fourth class or so, we've worked with our students. And even if they come to the academy with an idea, typically by the fourth class, they've tweaked that idea or started with a new idea.
And it's one of those things where somebody's great business plan, someone else may not be that enthused, but that's the nature of the beast. And a listener reminds me that a few years ago we had Todd Graves on this show, richest person in Louisiana. He said he got a C for his business plan at LSU.
I graduated high school with Todd, and he's a huge fan of the Young Entrepreneurs Academy. I'm very proud of, obviously, all that he has accomplished. And, you know, as the students create their business plans, they also create a pitch for the judges. So it's like Shark Tank. They stand up in March in front of
a panel,
not only a panel of judges, but a couple hundred people from the general public. It's open to the public. And they pitch their ideas. And to go from being a very shy, you know, reserved high school student, not really eager to say their name and what school to go to in September, to in March being able to present their business plans confidently is fun to see, and they all get seed funding.
And they file their businesses with the Secretary of State's office, as they should.
And upon graduation, they're also eligible for 3 credits from the College of Business at LSU if they choose to go to LSU.
And this is a worthy endeavor emanating in our backyard, and some of the national media outlets who have followed Deborah in this over the last 7 years, Fortune, CNN, NBC, The Huffington Post, USA Today, Good Morning America, The New York Times, you've hit them all, haven't
you?
Well,
so the Young Entrepreneurs Academy is a national program, so they have been following the national program, and we have certainly made our mark here in the region and are growing, and it's fun to watch.
And it's being replicated in other places.
And
you're a person who went away and came back. You couldn't stay away, could you?
You know, I came back to run the family business with my parents, and it was a good move. It was surprising even to myself that I would leave New York City at that time, one of the greatest cities, but I'm really glad I did.
And for those who may not have heard Deborah on this show in previous iterations, you were at the desk. You were the top aide to one Dan Rather.
That's right.
And this is an election year.
I
still miss him on election night.
I still read his commentary. He has a lot to say just about democracy in general, and he's following it, and it's fun to watch.
And he'll be 93 on Halloween.
Yes.
Some of those amazing people in the world were born on Halloween. Dan Rather, Dale Brown, Nick Saban. Shall I continue?
Wow.
Yeah, something about it.
There's something about it.
Yeah, I work with a guy, Kyle Coates, born on Halloween. But Halloween is Dan Rather, 93 years old. I remember when he was a young guy in 1968. I was 10, and I saw him get beat up at the Democratic National Convention.
Wow.
You don't remember that, but
I do.
And Walter Cronkite said, Dan, it looks like we've got some thugs here. And Dan Rather, he always got into these messes. He got his cab hijacked in Chicago. He got beat up on Park Avenue, but he kept coming. He keeps coming back.
He does.
He keeps coming back, and I know you love him dearly.
I do.
He's a great mentor. Those Ratherisms are you could tell he was born in Texas and grew up there. He never forgot from where he came.
Yeah.
And neither did you, and we're pleased with what you're doing with the Young Entrepreneurs Academy. The website, again, is
yeabr.org.
yeabr.org. That's yeabr.org. And August 18th, as in 18 days from now, is the deadline for applications for students entering grades 9 through 12. Deborah, thank you so much. Congratulations on your success, and we look forward to a progress report again soon.
Thank you so
much. Maybe you can bring some of the entrepreneurs in. I would love that.
Yeah. Anytime.
I'd love that. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.